eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, Glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. My wife and I have been married for about 9 years now. And one of the things I love about her, many things I love about her, is her love of storms. She loves thunderstorms or tornado events or potential events like that, not because she obviously just loves destruction, but there's something that she's drawn to it that it enlivens her. And it's sort of infectious and caught on in my own life to where now I find wanting to watch or stand on the edge of a storm as it comes in is a powerful type of a thing that I like to do. I love seeing it. There was one this last year that came in to our town, and we kind of sit on a place that we can look out to the north and west pretty well and see it, and the sky was just boiling. Just the clouds moving, the storm was coming in with such force. The opening that Charles Spurgeon, the wonderful orator, gives in his Treasury of the Psalms, I think is appropriate to read here. Just as the eighth psalm is to be read by moonlight when the stars are bright, as the 19th needs the rays of the rising sun to bring out its beauty, so this can be best rehearsed beneath the black wing of tempest, by the glare of the lightning, or amid that dubious dusk which heralds the war of elements. The verses march to the tune of thunderbolts. God is everywhere conspicuous, and all the earth is hushed by the majesty of his presence. The word of God and the law and the gospel is here also depicted in its majesty of power. True ministers are sons of thunder, and the voice of God in Christ Jesus is full of majesty. Thus we have God's works and God's word joined together. Let no man put them asunder by a false idea that theology and science can by any possibility oppose each other. That powerful reminder for us, even as Christians and as ministers of the gospel, that we bring forth the majesty of God in both gospel and law, that God is the one who is given glory and honor in all of this. I'm reminded also of the story from 1 Kings 19 when Elijah flees to the wilderness and ends up at Horeb, the mount of God, and hides in a cave. And the Lord says, come out to the entrance of the cave, for I will pass by. And it says the Lord passes by, and when he does, the wind rips and breaks the rocks apart. And then we have the various elements that are shown, but the Lord is not in it. There is an earthquake immediately afterwards, and after the earthquake, a fire. And finally, the voice of the Lord is in a low whisper. But Psalm 29 reminds us that again, God also communicates to us through these majestic and powerful things. If the whisper of God comes and communicates and comforts and guides and directs Elijah during that time, God also speaks through these chaotic to us and majestic forces of nature. Notice in verse 3, it says, the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. And it says at the end of the passage, or the end of the psalm in verse 10, that the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. This is the idea that even over elements of chaos and water, in the ancient understanding and really in my own understanding for myself, is this element that is so powerful and chaotic, and yet God reigns and communicates through those majestic and powerful things. Verses 5 through 9, we actually see a little bit of a stepped structure that takes us from north to south through the territory of Israel. It begins with the trees. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Speaking, of course, of the northern part of Israel, where we have these cedar trees, these beautiful, massive trees. It says he makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox, using the imagery of animals. And oftentimes we'll hear of the bulls or the cows of Bashan to the north, that he makes them skip, and he makes it just simply move to the way that he would have them move. It says in verse 7, then it goes to the center point, that the voice of the Lord flashes flames forth, flames of fire. Say that five times fast. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And Kadesh being the southern part of Israel, the wilderness that you would see stretching out towards Egypt that the Israelites came through, the very southern territory containing elements of that wilderness. It moves back to animals, and it says the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. And so the Lord himself then is able to summon life and death in these situations. And finally, in 9b, it says it strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. It's good to remember, as Golden Gate puts it, it says it recalls Job 38 through 40 with its reminder that there are vast tracts and aspects of Yahweh's world that are quite irrelevant to humanity, and to which humanity is quite irrelevant. But there too, Yahweh is sovereign. So the idea is that even though these places, and of course Job 38 through 40 is God answering Job, out of the suffering that he's been going through, that God is in control of these forces that seem irrelevant to us, how much more so is he in control of things in our life? And even though these things are destructive and powerful and in some ways cause evil and harm, I am quite content knowing that God is sovereign over those forces. And if I am quite sovereign knowing that he is in control over those forces and places outside of human control, then I am also content knowing that he is sovereign over heavenly beings and forces outside of my understanding and control. Part of the reason I refer to Golden Gate's commentary quite a bit is it was a recommendation of an elder of mine who in his study and in his faith has spent a lot of time thinking about the idea of the divine counsel and the supernatural worldview that you see or you'll see or hear sometimes communicated by guys like Dr. Michael Heiser. And so this idea then that we see in Psalm 29 is that it literally says, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, O Elim, this idea of in the ancient world of gods, how they would communicate with these divine beings. And I'm quite content knowing that God is sovereign over heavenly, spiritual, supernatural forces that are outside of my understanding and control. Because God, of course, is different. Even Golden Gate recognizes this. He says, hence, as well as being subordinate to Yahweh, they are metaphysically, speaking of these Elim, different than Yahweh, who is the sole God with no possible beginning and no possible end. But God uses these heavenly forces, these spiritual supernatural beings, to accomplish his tasks and purpose, and to him they owe all glory and honor. Just as the deer of the Kadesh, or the bulls of Bashan, or the cedars of Lebanon, or the rocks, the fire, the thunder, the flood, all ascribe to the Lord majesty, glory, and honor. And I'm quite content. Not necessarily saying that I don't wrestle with it at times or think through these things, but recognizing that these proclaim the glory and majesty of God, and that me being drawn to a storm and to the skies raging and boiling is in honor and glory to God himself. I pray ultimately that, like the psalm says, that you and I will have strength, that God will give strength to his people, that he will bless his people with peace. And as Psalm 1 says, and as I pray every week, I pray that God establishes you like a firm tree by streams of righteousness and peace. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful song.